Good afternoon and welcome to hour number two, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host, live from Las Vegas. Your other host on the East Coast, Josh Applebaum, live out there in Boston. So the trade deadline is upon us right now, Major League Baseball. We got Chris Bryant, that news breaking right before with the last segment with Jeff Erickson, RotoWire. Great call by both of you guys at the same time, really. Chris Bryant going to the Giants. Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, so we should have bet on that, Betting Across America. We could really combine forces there. But, number one, the trade deadline delivered, Pritch. What an exciting time and a pleasure to be working with you while this thing goes down. Just crazy excitement, crazy news. Probably the most amount of players and big-name players that I can imagine, I can remember, really, in quite a long time here. But obviously great move, I think, with the Giants. The Giants were the team, I don't think it was a huge surprise there. They're the one team with a great record who probably is playing way better than they expected to play, who was worth making a move for. And I think that's a good move, and that makes total sense. Chris Bryant there, so that was kind of the last shoe to drop. Obviously, Baez going to the Mets. We were looking at the standings here, and the G-men are still up. Even though they're plus 200 to win their division, they're still in first place. The Dodgers are the favorite, minus 150 still. The Dodgers, and I think Jeff made a great point, Andrew Friedman, the guy, I think he treads the line. I think this is what Chaim Bloom, and by the way, I always watch, Boston sports Twitter right now, Pritch. Everyone's happy except the Boston Red Sox fans. They're saying, why didn't we do enough? We didn't do enough. Schwarber wasn't enough. So talk radio right now is hammering Chaim Bloom, the Red Sox GM. But I think Friedman lays out a great model. You can be a big market team and pay for players, but you can also create a really good farm system. I think threading the needle there, Friedman has done a great job. So a lot of crazy moves all across MLB. But I agree with Jeff. I think the Dodgers getting Turner, getting Scherzer, to me, that puts them in the driver's seat to defend their World Series.
Yeah, 10 players who were all-stars were traded. That's incredible to me. JJ, our producer, just gave that to me right there, Josh. So it sets up an interesting dilemma, I think, for bettors. Because, for instance, you got the Chicago Cubs playing the Washington Nationals. Both of those teams just had a wholesale with their superstars. I mean, what do you do with that game from a betting standpoint? I mean, do you even participate or do you just avoid that situation?
So, Pritch, you bring up a great point. We haven't hit on any of the games today. And by the way, I think there's a lot of value on the board. So we got the last hour here. We're going to run through a lot of these MLB games with some sharp action. But game like that, I would go one of two ways. I would either not touch it at all because I think today is a day where you got to be on Twitter and you got to look at lineups. Who's in the lineup? Who isn't? People got traded. Just because Baez got traded to the Mets doesn't mean he's going to play tonight. You know, these are the things you got to keep an eye out for. You got to make sure you know who you're betting on and who's where. So for that example, like I saw a great tweet, Pritch. It was like Batman, like, you know, when they're looking at each other, pointing your finger, and it's like both the Nats and the Cubs are like, we're going to trade the most guys. No, we're going to trade the most guys.
Right.
Like, so teams like that and like the Cubs and the Nats here, it's a layoff for me unless there's something crazy line move wise where maybe even though both of the guys both teams traded away a lot of guys, there's a move big to one direction, which tells me that maybe some respective money came in one way or the other. I'm looking at it now, it's -105. It's a pick 'em, so it's like perfect. They trade everybody, it's a toss-up game.
Right.
Probably a layoff for me, Pritch. I would say though, late night, keep an eye on the San Francisco Giants. They just talked about them. They just got Chris Bryant, but it's kind of a sharp move to the G-men tonight. They opened like a kind of a pick 'em, -105, kind of both ways against the Houston Astros. Astros are a team that they didn't really make too many moves here, Pritch. That was a little bit surprising. One of the few teams who didn't. But San Fran, they're all the way up to around -126 right now, Pritch. So good move to the G-men. One thing I always like is these interleague line moves. If you see interleague steam, 10 cents or more, it's been pretty good. I think it's about 62%. So far this year in Major League Baseball, especially if you're on a home team, especially if that is the style of baseball in the league that you got to play. So NL style ball for Houston going to the NL. So keep an eye on San Fran. That's a sharp play. I got down on San Fran earlier today. I'm liking the Giants tonight with that -105, -104 pick 'em now to around -126.
Yeah, the Giants have been nice to me as well. I was able to cash some tickets with them. So that steam move to the Giants, even though they're going up against a good baseball team in the Houston Astros. But the Giants being buyers there right before the trade deadline with Chris Bryant, we'll see what kind of impact that has in the second half of the season. But I'm with you. I'll probably stay away Although I'm intrigued, though. Chicago, Washington. I just both teams decimated in terms of just giving away players via the trade. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host from Vegas. Your other host, Josh Applebaum, is out there in Boston. So, Josh, we're going to deep dive into the National Football League with this football team, the football team that's local out here in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Raiders. They have a win total of 7. It's not juiced up either way. It's minus 110 either way right there. First of all, your thoughts on that win total right there for the Raiders.
Yeah, so, Pritch, you know, a lot of times we can cheat a little bit just by looking at the juice, you know, seeing which side is being juiced up in terms of, you know, if we see a minus 120 on one side, then that means, hey, maybe either action came in that side or the odds makers are leaning that side. This, I think, is kind of the perfect number. You know, look at the Raiders last year, 8-8. Their win total now is 7. On the one hand, you say, ooh, maybe I could go over here. Can they win 8 games, same as last year, even though they're getting an extra game this year? So I kind of think I'm a little surprised that the over isn't juiced up. But I think you're going to play a division that is really improving, and you still got to play the Chiefs. You still got to play the Broncos, who were high on with their 8.5 over win total, Pritch. Also the Chargers, a team that I don't think is as good as maybe people are making them out to be. They've kind of been the darling of the offseason here. But I think it's a really difficult division. You know, I still would lean over maybe. You know, they still have Derek Carr. You know, they've made a lot of moves. I don't know if they've been great moves overall, but can they go 8-9 after you go 8-8? I think the Raiders are the kind of team that gives you those, like, there's a couple week string where you're like, man, this team could really do something here. Then they let you down and come back down to earth. So I'm surprised it's not juiced up either way. Tells me that they might be getting equal action both sides there, Pritch. So I can be convinced. I'm leaning over. Maybe this is an 8-9 team. But what do you think? You're on the ground there in Vegas. Tell me your thoughts here.
Yeah, I'm leaning over as well. I mean, you look at the last 2 years with the Las Vegas Raiders before Oakland Raiders and Coach Gruden going into year 4. They have the continuity with Derek Carr. They've had some turnover on the defense. We'll get to that. They've had turnover on the offense as well. But what has plagued this team the last 2 years is that collapse in November and December. So they're a playoff caliber team. They just had to collapse in which they went on those losing streaks late in the year. They can't do that, of course, but are they talented enough? Are they good enough? I believe they are. And certainly going into year 4 with Coach Gruden having the same quarterback, I think that gives the Raiders a chance to go over that total as well.
I'm with you, Pritch. And again, that's why I'm kind of surprised it's not at least like minus 115 over 7, that sort of thing. And, you know, I'm going through their depth chart, you know, Carr, Jacobs, Ruggs, Edwards. We talked about they got John Brown, too. Mm-hmm. If he can stay healthy, I think that could be a bonus to them. Also, Darren Waller, a guy we talked about yesterday, who, Pritch, after the show, I ran to the book as fast as I could about all these Waller overs from yesterday. Yeah. And then they bring in Leatherwood, you know, through the draft. Their defense, you know, Cleveland Farrell might be considered a reach or a bust, or I don't know. I don't want to be too hard on, but that was a very high draft pick that's been so-so. They bring in Ngakoue. You know, you also look at defensively, Trevon Moehrig. I thought that was a good move, safety who could be pretty good to pair with who was it? Jonathan Abram, one of those hard hitters back there. So I kind of lean over. Pritch, the one thing I do like, no matter what, is their week 1 game at home against the Baltimore Ravens, because that game, and again, we saw Lamar Jackson with COVID and, you know, how that will play out. He'll probably be fine for week 1, but that's a situational bet for me. Right now, the Vegas Raiders, they're plus 4.5 at home against Baltimore for week 1. That's going to be a primetime game, your first Monday night game. Just in general, I like going contrarian, putting on the hazmat suit for these gross dogs in these primetime games, because the Monday night, the Thursday night, the Sunday night, it gets so much public betting that it really provides a lot of value to go the other way, especially on a home dog getting points. So I'm looking at the Raiders 4.5, thinking that may get down to 4. Maybe this is a 3-point game, the Ravens win. But what do you think, Pritch? Is the Raiders overall, and would you be intrigued by the points there, that first Monday night game?
I would be, absolutely. I think the Lamar Jackson could have an impact on the Ravens, because you only have 18 to 20 practices throughout training camp. And, okay, if COVID's going to keep out your starting quarterback for a number of days, you're going to fall behind. And I think that gives an advantage to the Raiders, certainly, from a preparation standpoint. Going to the defense, which has been the problem, I think they were ranked 30th. In terms of points allowed last year, they bring in Gus Bradley. Now, Gus Bradley is known for his defensive mind, and certainly the system that he employs is not a complicated one. So if you look at all the talent on the Raiders defense. They have a number of first round draft choices in the secondary, second round draft choices in the secondary. They had a third overall pick in Solomon Thomas. They got a fourth overall pick in Cleveland Farrell. So this defense isn't absent of talent. It's just, can it come together though, Josh? And that's the big question mark for me, because if it does come together, now you're talking about a team that went 6-2 on the road last year, 2-6 at home. But with fans back in the stands, the black hole, a lot of people are anticipating of a lot of excitement out here in Vegas for the Raiders. Who knows? If they turn that around, you're looking at a pretty big turnaround right there for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I think you laid it out pretty well here, Pritch. I mean, make the playoffs plus 375. That's kind of a juicy number. And I think one thing that is reflective of the win total 7 minus 110 both sides is that there's not really agreement here in terms of the wise guys, who they're leaning on, you know, up or, you know, up or down the win total, higher or lower. Because maybe you have some people saying, hey, this, you know, it's just a Gruden year. You're going to fall for the trap of all these high picks and they just don't put it together. Or you have maybe other people disagreeing and saying, hey, pretty decent roster. I'm looking at their roster and Pritch, they're kind of their front four, their back four, they're look pretty stout. It's in the middle, maybe that, yeah, yeah. I don't know, like Corey Littleton was a big money free agent, Kwiatkowski. I think they could use a linebacker to really, you know, a fast guy in the middle who could kind of bring the back end and the front end together. But I think you're right. You know, I lean a little bit over. Maybe this is the year that things finally come together here. They have quite a bit of talent. They've had a lot of first round picks. And again, I'll take the points in that Monday night game. But I'm thinking, hey, maybe that over 7 could be worth a look here.
Yeah, I put them in the category as one of those surprise teams. Not a team that everybody's going to look to make the playoffs, but yet could surprise a lot of people along the way and make the playoffs, Josh, because of all this talent. And again, you are talking about Coach Gruden, who's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. There's only two Super Bowl winning head coaches in this division. You're talking about Andy Reid. And then certainly Coach Gruden. And then you got a new coach out there in Sandy with the L.A. Chargers. And then you have Fangio, who's unproven as a head coach with Denver. So there's a lot of variables in this division, which makes it very, very interesting. But certainly the Raiders are in that category as being a surprise team, though.
Yeah, great point by you, Pritch. You know, looking at, I mean, we expect the Chiefs to be good. They're probably going to be really good. They, you know, the high, one of the highest win totals, I think, might be the highest, right there with the Broncos and, or sorry, with the Bucks. But there are question marks still. You know, we're high in the Chargers. What if Herbert takes a step back? I like Herbert. I don't expect that to happen. But a first year head coach, we like to bet against first year head coaches with win totals. The Broncos, we're high in the Broncos. What if there's injuries to their quarterbacks? What if, you know, they've been rashed by injuries last year? So there are some question marks there, even though I really like their roster. I just think with that 7, it just seems a little bit low to me, Pritch. So maybe we can, you know, check back in a week, 2 weeks. Maybe it's minus 115 of the over. I think that's what you're looking for if you want to bet this over. A little signal across the market that maybe some money is coming in to make you feel more confident to hope for the, you know, an 8-9 win season.
Right. And then, okay, so the question marks for this football team will go on the offense, the offensive line. You mentioned Alex Leatherwood. Yes, he's good, Outland Trophy winner, but he's a rookie. And then if you look at that schedule, it is loaded with pass rushers this year. Khalil Mack, Bosa, Von Miller, Miles Garrett. I mean, it is loaded with pass rushers this year, Josh. And so the revamped offensive line, that has to come together. They're very young. They're more athletic, but yet not as experienced as that previous year's offensive line.
Yeah, great point, Pritch. Also, you know, Cole Miller, guy they gave a lot of money to, who's been pretty good. Incognito. I feel like Incognito's been playing forever, Pritch. That guy will never retire. But you are right. You know, we talked about the offensive line. You made a great point yesterday about their running backs. You know, you and I are both high on Josh Jacobs going over his, 1,500 yards to the over for his rushing yards this year. But Kenyon Drake, you know, Jalen Richard, Theo Riddick, these guys have had some injury concerns here. So maybe you want a little bit more depth. I think the one thing maybe if you like the Raiders is that you're banking on Derek Carr, but also they still have Marcus Mariota. This is a guy that, you know, my Patriots, I was thinking the Patriots could make a move for Mariota here. They never did, but it's kind of good to have a little bit of insurance there. You know, if injuries take place, at least give me a serviceable NFL veteran that could step in and be competitive here. So I think Mariota could be one thing to bank on. And for whatever reason, they still have Nathan Peterman, Pritch. Right. I don't know why Gruden loves Peterman, but Peterman's one of those guys where it's like Matt Schaub, one of these players who, like, he won't ever play, but you look at his career and he made like, you know, $30 million over the course of his career. Like, I just feel like that's kind of the Peterman type situation. So why does Gruden love Peterman? Do you know, Pritch? Like, that, I can't believe that.
I do not know. And, you know, to be honest with you, he's a third quarterback. I think he is his pet project. And he wants to see it be successful. That's the only answer I have for you on that one. I mean, Peterman, you remember him up there in Buffalo. I mean, I don't know if this guy ever see the field, to be honest with you. But yet he's still on the roster. So, you know, and that's, I think, something we should highlight and point out about the Raiders is they're relying on a lot of young players like Henry Ruggs III and Bryan Edwards and people like that. So if it does go sideways for this football team, they are inexperienced and they don't have a lot of talent underneath all these guys, certainly deeper in the roster when it comes to guys you can rely on. So a lot of questions in that regard for the Raiders, though.
Yeah, great point, Pritch. You know, I'm looking at it here, like, you know, you pretty much thinking Darren Waller is going to be great for you, but Ruggs, Bryan Edwards, John Brown, you know, mm-hmm. they still have Hunter Renfrow, Zay Jones. They added Willie Snead. That's kind of a sneaky move.
Right.
A guy who could catch you some passes, veteran type guy. I think you need one of those three, Ruggs, Edwards, Brown, to have a good year, to have a big year, to give Derek Carr one of those deep threats down the field. But you also mentioned, like, you know, defensively, they're back four. Damon Arnett, he was a high round pick. I think he was Ohio State mm-hmm. guy who didn't he break his arm or he got injured at one point. You're going to bank on these guys to keep you in the game. You know, the one thing I would look at too, Pritch, I like the points in that Monday Night Football, that week one game, the total. You know, typically primetime totals, I do like to go under. It's kind of the same thing. Public will bet the Monday Night Football favorite home team over. So unders do have some value. However, 51, some shops look like they're 51.5. That thing ticked up a little bit. Maybe we're in for these higher scoring games. Like, remember those Raiders Chiefs games that Raiders actually played very well against the Chiefs, but you had those high, like 35, 32 games. Maybe the over could be worth a look for that game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the Raiders last year against the Chiefs, they beat them. They scored 40 points on the road, and then, okay, they lost at home. They put 31 points on the scoreboard, though. They split that series with the Chiefs. In terms of the two games, they split with the Chargers too. They swept the Broncos. And this is a team, again, they feel like they can compete with the Chiefs. The Chiefs have kind of revamped their offensive line too. Now, Yannick Ngakoue, he's supposed to add some edge pressure along with Max Crosby too. So you're looking at a team that has top line improvement. But again, the question mark, if there's something that goes sideways, injury, a key injury, I think it kind of falls apart though for the Raiders.
Yeah, and the depth is really the question, yeah. Pritch. The depth is so important. You know, you don't need me to tell you this. Football is such a violent physical game, and guys drop like flies, and Belichick is always next man up, kind of that mentality mm-hmm. here. So are you really high? Are you, like, you know, have all these high-round picks as your starters, but if they fall, if they get injured, who will you have to replace them? And it's a great point to mention. So you're banking on these stars to play well for you. But the more I think about it, the more I talk to you, Pritch, that over seven, I don't know. I'm leaning a little bit to that over seven.
Yeah, no, I can get on board with that for sure. This is a good enough football team to go over seven. Darren Waller, his prop out there, his totals right now, 1,050.5 receiving yards. Run to the book right there for that one. Josh Jacobs, 1,000.5 rushing yards, 9 rushing touchdowns as well.
Yeah, that could be worth a look as well, Pritch. And one thing I'm thinking about too, it's going to be the first year at the Death Star there. And when I was in Vegas, Pritch, I went back and forth from South Point to Circa. That was pretty much what I did that a million times. And you see that huge, sparkling, big black stadium, and they're going to have fans now. So you talk about at home. Could that be a boost? The teams with the best home field advantage, you think about like the Seahawks or Arrowhead, teams like that, the Broncos with the elevation. Maybe the Raiders get that boost with finally having fans in that immaculate stadium that they've built. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Derek Carr passing yards, 4,025.5. That seems doable to me.
It
Pritch.
Does.
If you're going to have, doesn't it, like, Waller is a big target. You have a lot of options wide receiver wise. You're going to need them to be healthy, obviously, but can you get you 4,026 yards extra game? I would entertain that one, Pritch.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm right on board with you. I think Darren Waller will move around the football field, and he'll become more of that H-back / receiver / tight end. They have Foster Moreau back, who's going to be a true tight end for this football team. And then you have Alec Ingold, one of the few teams in the National Football League with a fullback. He's a pretty good one, too. So then you throw in Kenyon Drake, they can get highly creative with this offense, which would help Derek Carr go over that total 40, 25.5 passing yards.
I'm with you, Pritch. And again, you know, this allows, you know, Gruden to be creative. And now he has a lot of different options, different weapons, a guy that is, you know, known as an offensive guy who has, can think up a lot of different things. I think a lot of options just in terms of what you want to do. It's funny you bring up the, you know, the half, the, you know, the fullback here, Pritch, because Patriots, you know, we had James Devlin for a while, the big guy with like the neck roll there, who would just plow people over. Now they have a guy, Jakob Johnson, who I believe is from Germany and was through the NFL like international program. So it's funny, like the, you know, the fullback is going by the wayside, but you can incorporate them, Pritch. The fullbacks you played with, were they crazy? I mean, it's almost like a goalie in hockey or a catcher in baseball. You got to be wired a little differently to be a fullback.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just you go are in the hole like that.
Right. Yeah. You don't get the rock. No glory. Are you? You're a battering ram, basically. Right. And so, and you have to have a fullback name. So the one of the most memorable fullbacks I played with, Mac Strong. See, that's a fullback name, right?
That's a great fullback. That's as good as it gets for a fullback, I think.
Yeah, no, he was pretty good. Led Ricky Waters, Sean Alexander, too, up there in Seattle. A tremendous, tremendous football player right there. So deep dive with the Raiders. By the way, the Raiders are all in this year. Chips to the middle of the table. A boom or bust season for them. That's why looking at the over for that situation. More betting across America when we continue right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Today's episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod features Saratoga Live TV host Lafitte Pinkeye discussing tomorrow's Vanderbilt Handicap and Jim Dandy Stakes. John and Mike Baird remember the late Dale Baird, whose record as North America's winningest trainer is about to fall. Las Vegas horse player and bookmaker Paul Zim handicaps weekend races. Subscribe at iHeart, Apple, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher. Or download it now at vsin.com/podcast. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. So just updating everybody with the trade deadline has passed us by here, Josh. Right before the trade deadline, Chris Bryant is dealt to the Giants. And then also updating some notable names that were not traded. Trevor Story was not traded. Byron Buxton as well, not traded right there. But 10 All-Stars from a previous season have been traded. It's incredible, the most ever.
It really is. It's unbelievable here, Pritch. So I would look at 5 years from now, what are the Nats doing and what are the Cubs doing? Because once you make all these moves, I give a team credit. Like, if you're going to bottom out, bottom out. Get rid of everybody. Mm-hmm. Restock the shelves. Give me as many high prospects as you can. And in baseball, you know, the key with the prospects is you get them under arbitration control for many, many years. So, you know, the young guy, like one of the big deals with Mookie Betts going to the Dodgers and the Red Sox getting Verdugo is Verdugo is under team control for, I think, the next 4 or 5 years. So this is one of the reasons why if you're gonna clean house like what the Cubs did and what the Nats did, at least you have with the future team controllable players and high-end talent to bank on for the future. So it's tough for your Cubs fan today. You know, just the 2016 winning the World Series, these guys now being gone, you hate to see it. Same thing with the Nats here. The Colorado Rockies, Pritch, your team, your one of your teams, they intrigue me because why didn't you trade Trevor Story?
Yeah.
He's going to leave as a free agent, mm-hmm. and you could have gotten a return for him. I saw one thing or one tweet about how the return they got for Nolan Arenado was considered to be really bad, and they had to get a lot for Story to make up for it. If the guy's going to leave anyway, get what you can. He's gonna leave for nothing in the end. Something's better than nothing. So that made no sense to me. Rockies, you're not going anywhere. Why wouldn't you make that move? Even a guy like Charlie Blackmon, maybe you could have gotten something for him. Leads me down to Colorado and San Diego tonight here, Pritch. I know it's a big number, but the Padres have been taking a lot of steam here at home. They won a crazy game yesterday. I think it was only 3-0, really low scoring game. But it's Weathers tonight against John Gray, and a really big move here to San Diego. I know it's a big number, but I would consider laying this number with the Padres. They open -175. They've been steamed up to around -195 here. They're creeping up to around -200. A couple of things I like: steam 15 cents or more on a team off a win. That's 59% this year. Pretty decent ROI, around 4%. And then also home favorites off a win. That's been pretty good as well. That's 61%. So and it doesn't hurt, Pritch. I got the stat in front of me. Colorado Rockies 11-39 on the road. They do not play well away from Coors Field.
Yeah, I think it's about to fall apart for the Rockies. I mean, give them a golf clap because of the fact that how they played the first half of the season, in particular at home. But no Trevor Story trade. I mean, a lot of those players, they understand how poorly ran that franchise is. So I think it starts to get really bad for the Rockies in the second half.
I'm with you, Pritch. There are these teams that I think this is important. If we're grinding, betting baseball every single day, focus on the teams that made improvements and what kind of message does that send to your locker room that you're going for it. It gives you a little extra juice. Management believes in us versus teams that are selling off everybody. And it's kind of just like, season's over, who cares? Obviously, you're playing for a paycheck next year, a job next year, bringing in young players. So on the one hand, like betting on teams like the Dodgers or the Mets or some of these teams that made these good moves. On the flip side, I'm looking to bet against the Pittsburgh Pirates down the stretch, Bridge. I'm looking to bet against the Colorado Rockies, you know, the Cubs, the Nats. I think that's going to be important. These lines could be shaded, but betting against these teams that really have sold off everybody, that could be something, or at least one thing you got to think about when you're capping the rest of these games the rest of the year.
What about the surprise teams too? I mean, teams like Seattle, for instance, they're not out of it in terms of a wild card situation. A young team full of prospects though.
Yeah, Seattle's intriguing. What's funny is I think Kyle Seager, who's been there forever, he's still hitting home runs. I think he's got almost 20 home runs this year. He was saying, don't sell away parts, like add parts. They made that small move, I think, for Anderson, the lefty from the Pirates here. But that's a team that you don't think much of. The Mariners are scrappy, kind of like how the Tigers are scrappy. It could be teams you could maybe lean on, undervalued teams down the stretch.
Yeah, we'll get to baseball a little bit later on in the show, but some big numbers are starting to show up too. It's just one of those situations with the trade deadline. Do you participate or do you stay away because of the psyche of the players? I mean, a lot of players were shifted today, certainly with the Major League Baseball and all those trades. Coming up next, we're going to go back to the National Football League inside the NFC North, passing and receiving totals. Those are next. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is here. Start your football season on the right foot with our expert analysis and picks for conference champions, Heisman hopefuls, and playoff teams, plus power ratings for every team. Now is the time to get your all-access VSiN subscription, including our college and pro football betting guides, along with everything we offer for the entire football season. Get your college football betting guide for only $19.99. Or start your free all-access trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. So, Josh, NFC North passing totals. Of course, the headliner would be Aaron Rodgers. Not available yet on BetMGM, but we do have some from DraftKings in terms of Aaron Rodgers passing totals. So here you go, 45, 50.5 passing yards. How about that number?
Oh, man, give me all the overs here for Aaron Rodgers. I just think this guy is on a, I made the joke yesterday about Walter White becoming Heisenberg. This is Aaron Rodgers becoming just a bad man that we all thought he might be just kind of just light the room on fire and just have a career year. So a lot of these overs to me, I would lean on. You know, Davante Adams is intriguing. Guy puts up incredible numbers here, over under 110 and a half receptions, 1,300 and a half yards. Davante Adams is another guy who, now that Rodgers is all in, you're going to get Davante Adams all in as well. So I could lean over to a lot of those, Pritch. But what do you think? Is this just like, does the locker room know? Do you think they're like, hey, this is it for Rodgers? He's gone after this year. He put a clause in his contract. He can't be franchise tagged. Let's just ride this train and let's do it all together for Aaron. Like, win one for the Gipper here, Rich. Is that the kind of mentality? Would that be something you'd look for if you want to bet some of these over props?
Absolutely. I mean, a mentality of just wanting to play at an exceptional level. I think that's where Aaron Rodgers is at. He was the MVP last year. I'm sure he's going to pick up where he left off last year and certainly try to win a Super Bowl this year. Whether it's not, it truly is his final season in Green Bay. Why would you bet under Aaron Rodgers in this situation? I'd bet over everything.
I would too, Pritch. And one that jumps out to me is touchdowns. Only 35 and a half.
Right.
Pritch, he had 48 touchdowns last year. So even if he takes a big step back, I mean, you could have 10. I'm not a math wizard over here, but you could have 13 less or 12 less and still cash this over. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, the passing yards, he was 4,299 last year. Get an extra game, maybe add 300 there. That's going to be right around his number. But the passing TDs, give me the over there, 36 or more. And also the under interceptions. If you look at his, if you're ever bored, just go to like ESPN, look at his career stats. And his interceptions are super low. You go through year by year, this is a guy that's only gone over 8 interceptions, I think, twice in his career. And it was like his third year and like his fifth year. Since that time, I think he's gone under 8 in, I think, like 12 straight years. Mm-hmm. That under 8.5 could be worth a look, as well as the over touchdowns, 35 and a half.
What about the other situations with the other quarterbacks in this division? You got Kirk Cousins, 4,200 and a half passing yards, 28 and a half passing touchdowns, Josh. And then Jared Goff, of note, 3,995 and a half passing yards, 20 and a half passing touchdowns. I mean, Jared Goff, certainly the Rams wanted to move off of him because of the inability to throw the ball vertically down the field accurately and consistently. So here he is with the Lions with these passing totals.
Yeah, so Goff, on the one hand, those numbers are pretty low and they seem reachable, but it's tough for me to put my money behind Goff. There are so many good quarterbacks, so many good over opportunities. You know, every day we're talking about more. I just don't know if I want to risk my hard-earned units here on Jared Goff overs, especially on a Lions team where what kind of weapons do they have? I mean, really, they you know, you draft Penei Sewell. You got a couple guys left over. No more Galladay, though. Marvin Jones is gone. I don't know. It could be a tough year there for Goff. I'd lean to Cousins a bit. I kind of like his over touchdowns. Can he get you 29 touchdowns or more? You got a pretty good offensive weaponry there, you know, right, obviously with your buddy Jefferson, Pritch, who you pointed out to us would have a great year. Thielen, you got a great running game. Cousins, 29 TDs or more. I would lean that for Cousins.
Well, let's get to those receiving totals because Justin Jefferson leads the way, 1,300 and a half receiving yards in his second season, Josh, and 8.5 receiving touchdowns. The guy is incredible. Then you got Allen Robinson up there, 1,075 and a half receiving yards. A lot of that predicated on the quarterback situation for sure. Thielen, anybody else here on this list that you like?
So Jefferson, that number is high. I do like the over. He had 1,400 yards last year. Now he's going into year two. And Pritch, I got some stats for you. It's a Friday. Let's have some fun.
Okay.
There was a wide receiver in 1991, 22 years old, for the Atlanta Falcons. He had 624 receiving yards. Year two, he jumped up to 827 receiving yards. His TDs went from 2 to 5. So Pritch, my question is, do you know who that is? And the other question is, how more comfortable, confident were you year one to year two? And you think Jefferson, that's a reason to maybe bet on him with that leap there, year one to year two.
Yeah, year one to year two is magical. You sure that wasn't 7 touchdowns for that receiver? You're shortchanging him a couple, I think.
Maybe they got it wrong here, Pritch. I got a double. It says 5.
Does it say 5?
We'll talk to him.
Okay, yeah, we got to find out who put that in there, by the way. No, yeah, year one to year two is everything. I mean, the game is so fast year one. You get prepared for that. And I was actually the third option in that offense. So catching 50 passes was a lot. And then my second year was able to understand the league a little bit more. And then after my third year, you know, at the time I was the fifth fastest receiver to 200 catches in the history of the game. So it does click faster for you as a receiver with the ability that Justin Jefferson has. It's incredible. Sky's the limit for this guy.
I agree that over 1,300 and a half definitely seems doable. Pritch, your third year, it says you had 17.
Oh, okay.
So,
I was off.
Maybe that was it.
Okay. Yeah.
But still, I didn't shortchange you. I'll write a letter to the editor for the stats guys. If that's wrong, we got to fix that. But
it was one of those years. Year three. Yeah. Okay. Well, trending in the right way, of course, certainly, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And again, speaking of, you know, having you tell us that, I think that's some great intel because you could be saying, hey, did this guy get lucky? Did he get fluky? It's kind of like a pitcher, a young pitcher that just strikes out everybody. Is it because they're just not used to him? They don't know how to hit him. They haven't seen his fastball yet. However, that jump 1 to 2 can really be a big jump, especially after a good first year. So I like the fact that you kind of concurred with that, Pritch. To me, that would give me more confidence to bet that 1,300 and a half for Jefferson.
Absolutely. Some great names on this list, though. Adam Thielen, like we mentioned, 1,000 and a half yards, 9 receiving touchdowns right there. He is a red zone threat. The guy knows how to, he has a knack of getting open, finding open areas out there on the football field. Kirk Cousins, though, he needs to deliver. A lot of pressure on him at the quarterback position there for the Minnesota Vikings. Coming up next on the program, again, recapping Major League Baseball, all the trades, all the deals, we'll get to some games as well as a big gross play, I think, from Josh Applebaum. That's coming up next. Turn a $1 wager on the Cardinals or Twins into $100 with BetMGM if either team hits a home run. Just use bonus code VSIN100 when you sign up with the King of Sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details and make sure to use promo code VSIN100. It's a new customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21. Located in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan. Disassociated persons, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 800-522-4700. In Colorado, Nevada, Washington, D.C., and Virginia, 800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. So, Josh, Major League Baseball trade deadline did not disappoint. So many moves. Chris Bryant to the Giants, that was the latest one. Any move in particular standing out to you from a betting perspective that you're looking to back in the second half?
Yeah, I think, deservedly so, the Dodgers, obviously getting Scherzer, getting Turner, the big Baez move, mm-hmm. The Chris Bryant move. I think one move that is kind of under the radar that I think is really important is what the Chicago White Sox did.
Right.
Getting Cesar Hernandez, a good second baseman there to plug into that lineup. But really the Kimbrel move, I think that is a sneaky good move. They had to give up quite a bit. Nick Madrigal, who they sent back to the Cubs, he was a first round pick or highly touted second baseman. But seriously, Pritch, going into the playoffs, mm-hmm. You have a huge lead. I think they're minus 10,000 to win the AL Central, so there's really no value there. Second best odds to win the American League behind the Astros. I think they're plus 400, something like that. But really pairing up that back end of the bullpen, Kimbrel is having a fantastic year. As the guy's put up great numbers for a long time. He's still having one of his best years overall. If you have a lead in a playoff game, and just the way that Tony La Russa can now manage these games, if you get some decent starting pitching, you shorten the game here. And I also think, Lance Lynn, Cy Young, we mentioned him yesterday. I think he's plus 110, now the favorite. He could be worth a look. But just having both Hendricks and Kimbrel in the back end, to me, is probably the best 1-2, maybe by far, in Major League Baseball right now. So knowing that you can just get a lead or even a tie game and keep you in it, I think that's a big underrated move. It may not be the flashiest, biggest name, but I think the White Sox, really sneaky, getting Kimbrel to pair with Hendricks. That's a lethal 1-2 combo there in the bullpen.
I agree with you, Josh. I think it was a necessary move, too, when you consider what everybody else has done in the AL. I mean, the White Sox, they have the power in the lineup. They have speed on the bases, too. They have defense. So bolster the back end or bolster your bullpen in this situation, back end of your rotation too a little bit. But I think for the White Sox, if you're looking at the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Astros, I mean, those lineups are fierce, right? And so you have to combat that somehow.
Great point, Pritch. So are you just going to outslug everybody? I mean, you can bank on that, but can you really? Once you get into the postseason, you know, the old adage is, you know, good pitching beats good hitting. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great point by you. Like, your lineup looks pretty good. You're getting guys back. Eloy Jimenez was a guy who got hurt in spring training. He's coming back. Luis Robert could be coming back. You're feeling good about your lineup. You're also feeling pretty good about your starting pitchers. Lance Lynn's having a career year. You still have Keuchel. You still have Giolito. But if you're going to beat the best, how are you going to beat all these big boppers from these other teams you're going to have to beat? With some really good pitching. And I think the great point by you, that lethal bullpen is a different way to attack. You can't outslug everybody. Maybe you can try, but having better pitching, that could really benefit you in the playoff home stretch.
Right. And I thought Jeff Erickson made a great point earlier in the show when he mentioned how the Yankees, I teased him a little bit or joked a little bit about they have linebackers and defensive linemen on that lineup right now. And they do. They're massive guys out there, but they didn't do anything about their pitching. Cole seems like he's falling apart at times or can be erratic at times too, certainly. So Yankees not doing anything from a pitching standpoint.
Yeah, I think that was the disappointing part. I mean, I do think their lineup needed a boost there. Because, Pritch, you and I were doing shows where, you know, last week before, I mean, they're sending out their 5-9 hitters, guys you never heard of. I mean, Brett Gardner is hitting lead. I mean, no offense to Brett Gardner, but he's pretty long in the tooth here. So I like the moves to you know, give a little juice to their offense with Rizzo and with Gallo. But you're right. You know, you still have Cole. But who's after that? I mean, Severino, could he come back? I think he's still injured. I'm not really sure if they expect him back. But Corey Kluber was a guy that Kluber, I think, was the one that they were banking on. He looked really good for a while. Ends up getting injured. Now you have Taillon, you have Herman. I'm surprised the Yankees didn't pick up a guy like Gibson, like Kyle Gibson for the Rangers. Sneaky good move there for the Philadelphia Phillies. Exactly. Why couldn't the Yankees get down on him? I think they got Andrew Heaney, the lefty from the Angels. That was one move that they made. Maybe you're banking on him to pitch well, but I'm surprised they weren't in on some of these bigger pitchers. Maybe that would have been a smarter move than just, you know, bringing all these sluggers in. Maybe you want to go pitching route.
Yeah. Do you have any intel on Sale at all out there in Boston?
He's getting closer, Pritch. Okay. So it's funny. I live on the outskirts of Boston. I live in a town called Burlington. It's about 10, 15 minutes outside of Boston. If you go further west, Worcester, which is pronounced Worcester, Rich, just so you know. They're the new Red Sox AAA. It used to be in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Now it's in Worcester. And Chris Sale just had a rehab start there. So they're targeting early September, late August for Chris Sale. So I was dreaming of Sale and Scherzer 1-2 punch in the playoffs. Now I just need Sale and Eovaldi. Maybe that's who I'll be banking on.
All right. You got Schwarber. Don't sleep on that, right? I mean, I know people are disappointed a little bit, though. What about the Mets? You got some games? I mean, only you, I think. There could be other people participating betting baseball today. Do you have any games on your radar that you're participating in?
We got a lot of them, Pritch. So let's just go down chronological order here, my man. What do we got? We got 5 minutes left. So first one, I'm on the Mets. I like the Mets here at home against Cincinnati Reds. Not the bias factor, but what I like is Carlos Carrasco is coming back from injury. He was part of the Lindor deal with the Indians here, and he's making his debut. He tore his I think he tore his hamstring in spring training. He's going up against Sonny Gray tonight. Normally, I'm like tread lightly kind of with pitchers making their debut because you never know how it could go. It could go great. It could get bombed. But I love this move to the Mets. Even though Carrasco was a bit of a question mark making his debut tonight, they opened minus 110. They're all the way up to around minus 140, Pritch, minus 136. So Mets have been great at home this year, 32-18. Pretty good steam move in their favor as well. Non-division steam, 10 cents or more, 62%. So far this season. So looking at the Mets in that spot, also looking at a couple more here, Pritch, we mentioned Seattle. I think Texas could be a team that you might bet against down the stretch. Seattle is on the road at Texas. This is Gilbert against Allard. Saw a big move here to Seattle. I think they're like minus 140. They're creeping up to around minus 155, minus 160. So that's a decent move there to Seattle. Right. Another one is the St. Louis Cardinals, Pritch. This was a play with Berríos, who got traded to the to Toronto Blue Jays. He was supposed to pitch here. He gets traded. They put in a new starter here, Jax. He's going up against Wade LeBlanc. I like the Cardinals in this one. Huge move to the Cards with Berríos getting scratched and traded. At one point, they were like a plus 117, plus 120 dog. Completely flipped all the way to minus 140. So that would be another interleague series line move in their favor, which would be about 60% so far this season. A couple more Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers are at Atlanta. It's Tiki Toussaint going up against Corbin Burns. I really like that pitching matchup for the Brewers here with Corbin Burns. The Brewers went from like minus 130 up to around minus 140-ish. So that's a pretty decent move in their favor. We have seen these non-division favorites off a win. Road team, 66% so far this year. And then another one, before we get to the hazmat play, the Yankees.
Okay.
I know we're talking about the Yankees here, but Miami, they're kind of in, they got rid of some players. They got rid of Starling Marte. They could be a team that maybe you bet against down the stretch. I think Gallo is in the lineup here for the Yankees.
I was going to ask you, Yankees, have you seen a lineup for the Yankees yet?
I'm looking at it now. I'll refresh my page. Let me find it here. Not yet, Pritch, okay. But I did see... They make you shave your face when you go to New York, Fred. So I couldn't play for the Yankees because I like rocking, you know, the half beard here.
Yeah.
But with Gallo in there, I think he will be. Yankees went from minus 140 up to around minus 160. That's another big move toward the Yankees. That would be that interleague line move.
So Josh,
in their favor system match.
I see an expected lineup: LeMahieu, Judge, Rizzo, Gallo, Sanchez, Torres, Urshela, Gardner. And then a pitcher. Well, Talion. Because they're going up against Miami.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
But I mean, it's expected. But I don't. I mean, you think that'll happen?
We'll see. I don't know about Rizzo and Gallo back to back. I mean, you want to go lefty righty, that sort of thing. But Rizzo. I'm surprised if he's ready to go. Gallo, I think he is. But maybe that's part of the move if these guys are in the lineup. Why we're seeing the steam to the Yankees here on the road.
Wow. And then the hazmat. What you got? That's not the hazmat, right?
That's not the. Here's a hazmat, Pritch. We're going to lay a minus 154 on a team with a below 500 record. That's the hazmat play tonight. The Detroit Tigers. They're 50-55 this year, but sneaky move toward the Tigers here. They got a win yesterday. I think what did they win? I think it was like 6-2 against the Baltimore Orioles. But Detroit open around minus 130. They've been steamed up all the way, minus 150, minus 154. They've been actually really good at home. You don't think of it, but Tigers at home, 29-22. Baltimore been somewhat of an auto bet on the road, 18-33. And the Tigers have only been favored, I think, in like 15 games this year, mm-hmm. or 13 games. They're 9-4 as a favorite. Baltimore, 32-59 as a dog. So I'm not this isn't a fade Harvey play. It's more of a betting on Detroit than a betting against Baltimore. I like what the scrappy Tigers here have been doing here recently. I'll lay it with Scooble. I know it's a hazmat laying a minus number with a sub 500 team like that, but give me Detroit Tigers here tonight laying a minus 154.
Vegas has Detroit at minus 148 now, Josh.
Better number, Pritch. There we go. Shop around as always.
Absolutely. Well, my friend, great job this week, Dow. This was awesome. The trade deadline did not disappoint, but just so much knowledge gained by doing shows with you, man. It's been incredible.
It's been great, Pritch. You're doing a great job. And hey, this 2 hours, this is the fastest 2 hours I've ever done. Talk about just endless things to talk about. Great trade deadline. Have a great weekend, Pritch.
You too. You do the same, Josh. That was outstanding. Again, Josh Applebaum again. Great market insights. Great information all over the place all week long. Come up next here on the network, My Guys in the Desert, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you.